Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jared.
I'm a dead mouse in a jar.
Are you?
Yeah, is that cool?
It is. It tells me that I'm not going crazy, because, like, for years I've seen you as this mouse in a jar, but you have sentience, so I didn't want to disappoint you by letting you know that you're a mouse in a jar, but now you're telling me that you know that you're a mouse in a jar. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, well, you're not going to be glad in a second, because I'm actually moving out with my mouse girlfriend.
Is she dead as well?
Yeah. I'm not going to make it weird. Come on. I had to put on my profile, I'm a dead mouse. Like, I don't hide that from people, okay? I'm very open about who I am.
Like that DJ?
Yes. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. I am Jared. That is Dan. What's up, bud?
Jamming out to Dead Mouse as we speak.
Fuck yeah, bruh. Staying current. I don't know what's current in music right now, to be honest. I'm more listening to Modest Mouse myself. So we review independent films here, Dan. That's what we do.
Yes, we do. And we watched a film called Dead Little Mouse.
No, it's called Little Jar, Little Jar, Let Me In. No, it's called Little Jar. And this was sent to us by, I'm going to just say, the team of Little Jar. I'm sorry I lost the information on who sent it to us exactly, but thank you for sending us this film. I appreciate it. Little Jar, it is on Tubi right now. You can go watch Little Jar. It came out in 2022.
2022.
Yes. Dan, what is Little Jar?
So Little Jar is about a woman who is,
hey, good start,
experiencing life in pandemia, as we all once did at one point. And she befriends, well, she finds what appears to be a dead mouse in a small jar, and she befriends it, and she talks to it, and this is how she copes with the isolation of the COVID.
The vid is going around.
Yeah, the vid.
And what makes this worse for her is that she is cut off, like her phone doesn't work. And
she was already kind of like a curmudgeon to begin with. She just didn't like people.
Yeah, which I feel like many people are that way. Her internet stops working for a long time. And I don't know if it's really specified how long she is in quarantine for, but it stretches well beyond 2 weeks.
It's a long time.
Because initially you're like, oh, okay, she's just going to work from home for a little bit. And I think that actually really tracks, because when this first happened, everyone thought, oh, we'll just be out of work for a week or two. And then it lasted like over a year. It's like a year and a half, almost 2 years. So it was a freaking nightmare. Dan.
Yes.
COVID films. How do you feel about them currently in the year of our Lord 2024?
I mean, we've said this multiple times on the show. I'm tired of them, but I can't see an end to them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that this film was poorly made or it was not entertaining. It's just the subject matter. It's like, I get it. We
lived through it. So it's like, it sucked.
It still sucks.
Yeah, it sucked. It sucked. Now, I think this film has enough going for it that it can overcome that.
Absolutely. No, and it does. It does, I think.
If you're interested in this stuff, or this kind of stuff doesn't bother you as much, because this is really more about connection, right? And it's a good premise to have this vid and like to talk about this subject, really, to really get into it. So in that respect, I think the film does a really good job in conveying its message. But again, it's for me and Dan, not big fans of COVID stuff, movie related, really. So there's an uphill battle that this film is fighting already in our snobby little opinions of what should be film and what shouldn't be. But I will say, I think this film was very well made.
Very well made, absolutely.
And there's a lot to be enjoyed in this.
And I completely agree. There's a lot to be enjoyed. And it's impressive that they filmed this during COVID, right? Like, this is a COVID film.
I would assume so.
Through and through. And like, I read like the email snippet they gave me, or gave us, it said that they just filmed it while quarantine was happening with a couple of people, and it looks great. It looks like a great little film. I like the props. I like the story. Like, even though COVID for us, because we have seen so many of them, has become a tired premise. Not everybody has the privilege of watching 15 COVID films, you know?
Yes, yes. I know. We're coming at this from a different perspective. That's why I'm trying to give these caveats and be like, well, this is kind of where we're coming from, but I still want to judge this film as fairly as I can. And that being said, this film is a joy to look at visually.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so nice. This is so professionally done. So you agree then with that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't need to ask you that question. But what I will ask is, how do you feel about the music in this film, Dan?
I loved it. It is appropriate. Like, it wasn't... Like, this film takes place in this lady's house, right? And it's kind of fanciful because it's about this woman befriending a dead mouse.
Yeah, yeah, it's just weird.
The appropriate is, like, the best way I can describe what the music sounded like to me.
I really liked it. I'm pretty sure every song was an original song.
Yeah.
And, oh, I wish I could remember the song in the middle. There's some really good songs in here that... It felt like the songs... We're keeping my attention in the film. Mm. Like, it was really helping me move along with the plot and everything else. So it was refreshing just to, like, how fun and interesting these songs were. Even, like, the closing song, which I found online, it's just called Little Jar. And it's just, like, this sweet little song about, like, opening your jar up. I won't sing the song, don't worry. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. And I think without this music... this film would have suffered greatly, so I think it's...
Interesting.
Yes, I really feel like...
I mean, Little Jar is playing, so... What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say the cohesion between how film the... Oh, words.
How film
I was going to say... I know, I'm a fucking moron. How film the film works. Excuse me. How film the film works, I felt like filmed really film for me. I was going to say... that the cohesion between what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing was really good. And because you can have a film that looks great and you put like music that doesn't fit. We even saw a film recently. It was the film about the superhero who was time traveling.
How many fucking times can we say the word film in a minute?
Film. And I really liked how that... movie looked, see, I changed it up, and in that movie, I don't think the music was helping it. Yes. Even though they put a lot of work into that music, I feel like it was taking me out. And this, it's hard to get all that shit to work, and especially with sound design too. That's something we really harp on a lot. Sound design, I think you would agree, Dan, excellent
in this movie. Yes,
very, very good. All right, question for me:
had you not read the synopsis,
and I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. So, okay. Then that changes the question a little bit. How did you come to the consensus that this mouse was a dead mouse instead of a stuffed animal mouse?
When she first pulls it out of the jar, because she's just like going through things, old stuff. And this jar is full of like thumbtacks and like bips and bobs. And it's all this junk, you know, fun, crafty stuff. And then in there, the mouse that falls out looks like a real dead mouse. I don't know if it is, but its tail was like shriveled up, you know, like dehydrated, like it was mummified.
Mm.
But then when she dresses it up, which I don't know if this is a spoiler, it's in the trailer. When she dresses it up, that is a fake mouse.
Yes.
Right? That's a crafted mouse.
Yes.
So I hope I answered your question and I succeed the rest of my time. Thank you.
I read, the scene in which you're talking about.
What's your issue here? I want to hear then.
The scene in which you're talking about, whenever she finds it, it does look like a dead mouse at first, but I read the synopsis and the synopsis said, oh, she finds a dead mouse. And then the whole, let's be real here. Let's be frank.
Where is Dan's hang up? Can you find it, audience?
Let's be frank. I can understand.
Is it under the couch? No.
I can understand why filmmakers and audiences alike would not want to use a real life dead mouse while filming this.
Of course. Why?
The mouse did not, like, it could have been a taxidermied mouse, you know, and that would have been more interesting or like more.
Maybe it was originally. I think maybe that mouse that fell out was just like a dead mouse. I don't know.
But I'm talking about. I'm talking about the dressed mouse. The dressed mouse could have been a taxidermy mouse. How fucking crazy would it have been if, like, over the period of, like, we understand that time is passing because the mouse becomes more...
It's rotting. Okay, well, that gets into something that is very intriguing to me, the tone.
Mm.
So this film has a very specific tone, and it does it really well.
Yes.
But what would happen if we went with a darker tone? Because this movie gets weird. It does. When this film gets weird, I am having a blast. And we're going to talk about
You're right. It would change the entire fucking movie.
Some of the shots get so bizarre.
It would change the whole movie.
Yes. Mm. But like a lot of the tension and conflict in this is between the friendships or the friendship that she has made with this mouse and with another character who's been bringing her groceries, who we'll talk about as well.
Excuse me. Dead mouse.
Thank you. And considering how morbid and weird, how truly weird this is, like if you met someone, because she does explain this later to some people, like, here's all the stuff I've been going through. You could be, you know, no one would hold it against you if you were like, okay. And then you left. You're like, okay, well, I'm real busy, because there's some psychological stuff going on here that can be a little disturbing. But it's played in a lighter tone in this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on how could the direction of this... Do you think it could have made an interesting, like, yin and yang?
After saying it out loud, I realized how stupid it sounds. And as I was saying, like, to be frank, I don't know. I answered my own question.
Yeah. I think it would have been really funny to have it, like, she sees it as one thing, but then it cuts to, like, what... reality is, and it's really fucking
that
disturbing.
Would have been interesting.
And they do that bit a little bit back and forth, like there's a great number later on we'll talk about, but not anything to the point of like how
the mouse puts on a top hat and says hello my baby.
Yes, like how disturbing this mouse could get. Okay, here's another question to you. Do you think having the mouse not talk was a pro or a con?
Pro.
Why?
Pro. Because it reminded me of the shitty film that we made. The guy who's alive talking to the dead person. Like, just for some reason, that trope it's hilarious to me. But they make it work because she hears the mouse, even though we don't hear the mouse. So it's like that kind of...
And she's responding, and you're picking up on context clues of what's going on. Yeah, so there definitely is enough information there.
And to me, like, I don't know, just in general, like, I love it. At one point, I think it was you... You were like at my house once and my dog was barking. Like this is back in like high school or college. Yeah. And
so like five years ago.
Yeah. 5 years.
Definitely ago. Like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yesterday.
Last week.
The dog was barking and you were like, I know. And like, you were having a conversation with it. It blew my mind. It was so funny. So like, I like the silliness of having those one-sided conversations that can only be found out through context. And that's what this whole film is.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I think it's strong and it lets the lead character give a really great performance. It really puts a lot on her shoulders.
Yeah.
I think she does such a great job.
She sells it so well.
Kelsey Gunn as Ansley.
Kelsey Grammer?
Not Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, Kelsey.
Kelsey Grammer, cameo appearance. As the mouse.
Kelsey Gunn. Yes, Kelsey Gunn. She's excellent.
And then Nicholas Anthony Reed as Marvin, who's the guy who delivers the food. He looks so familiar to me. Like, I've seen him. Mm. I don't know what it is about him, but I liked him a lot. He was so good. In conclusion, if they were to give the mouse a voice, that could be a big gamble. Because if the voice is not great, you have to do a lot of more timing with the jokes.
I was going
to
say that.
It makes things way harder for way less reward. Like the risk reward is not great. So I think this was the absolute correct move.
And in, like you said, the delivery of the jokes, because it all is boiling down to her having a one-sided conversation with an inanimate object.
And then keeping that interesting, because that is most of the film. And I think this film does that to an extent. It does a really good job with that. Were there lulls for you in this? And then we're going to get into spoilers.
No,
Was this able to keep your attention the whole time?
It was able to keep my attention the whole time. It does. It does get deep. It gets weird, like you said. Yeah. It gets silly. And, like, the silliness becomes weird. And then the silliness, like, if you really start to think about it, gets, like...
dark.
So this film... like, what? Yeah, it's very dark, but it's absurd. Like, this film is not afraid to take absurdist leaps. Because the minute that I saw that the mouse could move on its own, I'm like, okay, this is ridiculous.
Because all I'm thinking about is that she's moving it and then going back to where she was and forgetting that she's moved it. Like, that's how gone she is. There's some really weird, if you really think about what's going, like, it gets nutso bagutso.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff I love the most. I mean, the more fantastical you can get, the better. This film definitely approaches that in a few scenes that, like, are just chef's kiss. Super cool.
Let's talk about some of those scenes.
You know what, Dan? I don't want to. I'm going to keep asking you questions until your fucking face is blue. What do you think about that, Chief? No, I'm just kidding. All right, we're going to get into this film. I don't know. I'm super aggro today. I'm drinking a Rattler right now. I had to have a beer. It's the afternoon, but... it's one of those days, you know? It's more celebratory. I'm having a great day today. Anywho, we're going to spoil this film. Go watch it. I recommend it. Little Jar. If you want to watch a cute drama comedy about isolation and friendship and making connections, even with inanimate objects, which we all do. Like, this is so relatable. Every aspect, I feel like anyone could watch this and at least get something from it that would connect with you on a personal level. But yeah, okay, Dan, what would you like to talk about first?
The scene that gives the film its title. So the mouse is bored and is badgering this woman to, like, hey, let's do something. I'm bored. And
the dead mouse, right? Dressed up in mouse. Like a little tuxedo.
So she's like, what do you want to do? And he's like, tell me a story. Like, we don't know that this is what he said, but she's like, okay, I'll tell you a story. So she tells this story about this jar, basically. And what she does with the story, I'm not going to give away everything, but she basically tells a story about how she feels on the inside. And it's kind of like, it flows freely from her, and she starts, because she's very apprehensive at first. She doesn't want to tell a story because she doesn't think she could be any good at it. Yeah. And then as she's telling it, it starts to flow and it starts to make her upset. And it, like, she realizes that it's her that she's talking about. And, like, she just had this moment where she's looking at herself from the outside in, and she starts crying. And it's so, so good. So good.
Excellent scene. Really, really good. And it's all about letting people see some of the things in your jar and what happens if you overdo it. You're afraid if you overshare or really show someone who you truly are that they'll, like, not like that and run away.
Yeah.
And that's such a relatable thing, because everyone in any situation, whether you're at work, with friends, even different friend groups, people you're closest to, you wear a mask or you act differently around those people. There's certain things you wouldn't say or do around someone that you would around someone else. Like, when I'm at work, I can't act like a silly goofball, right? I have to, like, pretend to be a grown adult man. And that's tough for me.
Very.
Everyone's been in a situation where you feel like you've overshared. It's kind of talking about navigating through relationships. The scene where she's at work interacting with all her coworkers, even though it's a bit exaggerated, it hits on, like, exactly the type of people that you would see at a job. And they're not, like, being mean to her or bullying her. They're just, like, getting a little too familiar or just putting you in an uncomfortable zone enough to where those little annoyances.
Yeah. For somebody who is very withdrawn, that's extremely uncomfortable.
That kind of a thing helps me understand her better as a character, and they do a really good job with that. So then when she gets to the point where she's getting into a fight with a mouse about the mouse's girlfriend and her, like, him not spending enough time with her.
Did we say that the mouse gets a girlfriend?
We never even see the mouse get made. I mean, she made the mouse girlfriend, right? So she made the issue that she's having, she made this conflict. It's very strange.
Well, I don't know. Did she? Did she really, though?
Did she? I mean...
Haven't you had a mouse just pop up in your life?
Look, Exhibit A, magic. Okay? I rest my case.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's talk about Marvin for a little bit. We have this character who he's delivering groceries. He's just supposed to show up, deliver the groceries. I don't know if you're supposed to sign for groceries. I don't know if that's a real thing.
No.
But it's more of like a plot device.
I've never signed for groceries in my life.
Yeah, she even says, like, aren't you supposed to just drop these off and leave? She's like, well, I got this clipboard and you're supposed to sign for it. But he's so nice. He's like, I'll sign for it for you. Not a big deal. He's very overly nice and wants to be really friendly with Ansley. And I never read it as like, what's this guy's deal? But more of like, oh, he's probably super lonely too. And that is exactly what's going on. Because at this point in time, like, if you're a social person at all and you're stuck, even if you're not, I guess that's kind of the point of the film's trying to make. Mm-hmm. Is that we need human interaction in some way. But what did you think about his character and the interaction between these two leads?
He was annoying.
What? You thought he was annoying?
It's nothing against the actor. I just, his type of person. I'm like, yeah, whoa, take the groceries and go, bro. I'm going to be fine with my mouse.
Dude. I thought he was really not. I can see how you think that.
I'm more of a misanthrope than this woman is.
Mm-hmm.
I walk around work with like total RBF and just like try my hardest just to exude the aura that I do not want to be talked to. Please don't talk to me.
You know what's funny though is I'll act that same way, but if there's someone like a Marvin who is like relentlessly nice to me, I need that type of person around me. Because then I do become friends with them. Because I'm like, this guy is just too chill. He's too fucking cool, or whoever this person is. And it's like, I would never go out of my bound of like my comfort zone.
Well, okay. So film related, not me related. He's an excellent foil. Like, he's written so well to bring out what she needs to have out of her in terms of making this narrative work. So well-written character for sure. But he annoyed me.
No, I get it. I get it. I loved his performance. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he was really good.
Charming. Please be my friend.
What made his character awesome, because like he's not overly cheery the whole time. He gets told off by Ainsley at one point, and the way he reacts to that, he's like, I'm still going to be nice, but I'm going to reprimand you in the only way I know how. And I loved that. I thought that was really good.
And that is the coolest thing, too, where he's like, what you just did was not cool. And we can keep this professional if you want. And it was like, he said it way better than what I just said. But I was like, yeah, this is what an excellent way to deal with this. And even at the near, like towards the end, and we're in spoilers, right? So at one point, the mouse, the stuffed mouse, leaves with the mouse lady.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're having a conflict in their relationship with this like triangle of friendship, love, whatever it is, they flirt with the idea that Ansley is in love with the mouse, which I thought was
hold
funny.
On a second. Hold on a second. I did want to bring that up. Thank you for reminding me. So there's a scene we're putting a pin in this outdoor scene, but there's a scene early in the film where she's, you know, in the friendship stage with this mouse, but then she's like, hey, do you want to take it to the next level? Like, her words. And I'm like, is she trying to fuck this mouse?
Let's get like, it on.
What is going on?
Let's get it on.
What is going on? This dead mouse, that's like bestiality and necrophilia. Gross. No, thank you, movie.
Those are the two favorite things. So that scene should have been cringe. I should have been like, I hate this, but I was like, let's go. Let's get as weird as we can. And even though it was a joke and they aborted it, it was like, I actually just meant I want to be best friends. It's like the film is flirting with the darkest stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then somehow keeping it PG. And I think that restriction on it makes it a better film and made me enjoy it even more.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's get back to this outdoor scene. So she's having a heart-to-heart with Marvin. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. And so she goes outside for the first time in maybe months, and she's dressed in this silly outfit. And she goes out there because she thinks that the mouse has come back. So she goes out there and there's no mouse. He's not there. And she's freaking out. And Marvin just so happens to walk up to deliver her groceries. And she's like, have you seen my friend? And she's like describing the friend to him. And he's starting to realize that she's talking about a dead mouse that she dressed up in a little tuxedo and how ridiculous this is and like freaky and weird. And she looks like she's having a nervous breakdown. And he goes, okay, well, I guess I'm going to go. He's like, here's your groceries. And then he starts to walk away. And then he does this thing where like she had told him, I don't need help. I don't need want contact. I want to be friends. Like, just go. But he is like intuiting that there's some, she needs help. She needs something. She needs some kind of interaction. And he's like, even though this could be bad.
Connection, if you will.
Yeah. It's like, even though this might not be unwanted, I'm still trying to respect her wishes and her space. So he turns around and goes, okay, I'm just going to sit here with you. And if you want me to leave, just tell me and I'll leave. So he just sits down and they just kind of sit together for a little while. And then she finally explains everything that's going on. And he's like, yeah, okay, that's a little crazy. But then he starts to explain like some of the crazy shit he's been doing, like putting a mirror up at the dinner table so he doesn't feel alone.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I listen to podcasts a lot, and I feel like that is a weird supplemental thing for me of like having a friend group. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. You really start to grow an attachment with the people who are talking, even though you don't know them and you've never met them. So yeah, it's this weird parasocial thing that you need to keep in check. Like, you know, I'm not going to go to their house and like, you know, bring them a potluck or anything, but it's, you do grow an emotional. Yes, of course. Your potlucks are legendary. And it's interesting in that respect. And I think that scene is pivotal, and it really like brings the rest of the movie together for me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it does. What a great way to end a great movie.
That's right. Dan, final thoughts. I'm sorry, we're going a little long.
One of the stronger vid movies out there.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely.
COVID is a player in this, and it's you are reminded of it because she has a neighbor who goes through all the stages of COVID.
There's no birds neighbor. Yeah, he's great. Him dying was fucked up.
Yeah,
what the fuck, he dies.
So you have it as a presence in the film, but that's not what the film is about. Whereas most of the other COVID films, it's about COVID.
Yeah.
And this film is about the social implication of COVID,
which I love and way more.
Yeah.
Some really cool shots in this movie. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil them, but you'll know it when you get to them. You're gonna be like, I enjoy this.
Yeah.
Some pretty weird diorama stuff. It's mm-hmm. fun. The props and practical effects are great. I'll say in the third act, nearing the finale, there's some lulls for me a little bit. There's like some monologuing where it was kind of losing me just a little bit.
Really quick, just to clue you in, because I don't trust you guys with your cinematography expertise like me. There's this amazing scene where she like has put up this tarp over because she's quarantining.
That's the scene I'm talking about. Yeah, it's excellent.
She pulls it open just a little bit so you can see her eye. Oh. And it's a very close up view of this hole with, you can see her eye through it. And then she just sort of backs up into the blur. And I'm like, oh my God.
Okay, 2024, best eye acting.
Best eye acting, yes. Best shot so far.
Well, because she's very able creative to express her surprise and emotion with her eyes, and then her disappointment with her eyes, because they cut to it again, and she's just like, and it's just, her fingers slowly go, it's genius. It's so good. And it reminds me of Ace Ventura when he tries to get out of the rhino's asshole. And I think that was a direct reference.
Everything reminds me of that.
That was, yes, yeah, a lot. You know what? A lot of things do, but I try to keep that on the DL. That's my weird.
That's a matter of fact,
jar.
Like,
yeah, that's the jar I'm trying to keep close.
I just have Ace Ventura playing in my head like every day. Guys, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Give us your dates, your deets, your links, your movies.
Review us on iTunes or wherever you can review us. Give us 5 stars if you're nice, if you're nasty. Listen, open that jar, you know, pour a little out, but don't do it all at once, you crazy kids. Then you're gonna be talking about Ace Ventura's butthole and you're gonna make everyone upset. You don't want that. Oh, unless you do, who cares? Do whatever you want. I'm not your dad. Or am I? Dan, you have the final word.
I'm going to take my mouse girlfriend and go. So if you want to continue this podcast, then I guess you can. But I will see you in Mouse Barcelona, where we will convene on the beaches of mousy goodness.
Mouse-indy.
Mouse-indy.
The beaches of Mouse-indy.
Good night, everybody.